Good morning. First off, Merry Christmas, right? I know it's the day after, but it's really still Christmas in my heart. Probably a lot of you, and I know we still have a couple Christmases to go. It's kind of weird to say it that way, but yeah, I have, I think, maybe two more Christmases. It's a season of that never ends, I feel like, in some ways, and it's not a bad thing. Right? Get to be with family, get to open gifts. And what comes with that, like we're still living in, is a mess. I don't know about you, but usually in our house, we as we open up the gifts, we throw that trash away. This year, I think it's somewhat of what, because I was going to give this message, we were just too tired, too lazy, too whatever. And the gift wrappings are still on our floor. I'm sorry. I'm telling everybody our business. I'm good at that. I'll hear about it later. But we would not be capable to have visitors over our house right now because it is dirty. It's messy. It's just the remnants of the war of Christmas gifts. All right? I love it. It's just all over the place. And we're living in that right now. One of the other things that's going on, and kind of an odd day for me in some ways, usually you'll see or and I get to greet you. I'm not feeling too good, and I didn't want to take a chance to get anybody sick. So I'm even going to step back even further, and splash zone is, I want you to be safe. So don't take me not greeting you as, what's wrong with Pastor. I'm just not feeling quite up to par. Anybody else, because I love you guys, and I still wanted to be here this morning and worship with you too. So a little bit of selfishness there. But so that's what's going on, right? And I hope that you kind of are living in a mess yourself this week. I hope that you got to open gifts up. I hope that that you were more concerned about what was inside the gifts than the explosion of the gifts themselves, right? It can be exhausting during this time, right? Because you cook, you bake, you clean, and it's like nonstop. And then you play with the gifts, and then guess what? After the gifts, you got to clean up, right? It's just part of the process. And as you become an adult, you start to see that process even more, right? As a kid, who cares, right? You could lay down in the mess and just be okay with it. I remember growing up, and thinking about the times that we know we're going to have visitors. And I don't think I'm the only one, but Mom would make me clean up my room to the nth degree that it had to be spick and span. And my thought process now as an adult, was she afraid that visitors would come in and go straight to my room and, inspect my room? It's kind of a weird thought. I'm like, my room was way in the back. Nobody's going to go to it. Now I want to go to people's homes and, wipe my feet and go straight to, the guest room or straight to the rooms and be like, is it clean in here? Go to the master bathroom and, is it clean in here? No, nobody go. But it's a weird thing. I don't think my mom is the only one that at the house from top to bottom, because we're going to have that visitor that's going to inspect everything, right? Anybody ever have that visitor? Anybody ever have the visitor that goes into every corner of your house and be like, okay, good thing you got that storage cleaned up. It's kind of weird, isn't it? We're going to talk about the mess. And I'm going to talk about, we've been talking about Advent and all the joy, peace, love, and hope in Christ, right? And these being gifts. And the idea when we open this gift, that gift just comes pouring out. And it's a mess. You got joy all over the place. You got peace all over the place. And you got hope just running amok, right? Can you imagine those things in your life just being overwhelmed with them and not being worried to have to clean them up? And every action that you have comes out of these gifts that has been given to us by Jesus, the ultimate gift during this season. I'm going to talk about three moments of messy situations in Scripture and how we use these gifts that God has been given us and how we need to seek out the gift of mess, right? It's kind of a weird gift to talk about this morning after Christmas. But I was thinking as I was preparing for this, I thought, man, the one thing that we don't really discuss as part of Christmas, I see it when I go to my aunt's and uncle's house, the one thing that they have right away after every gift is opened, they have the trash bag that's already right there. All right, no, that doesn't touch the ground. It goes right in this bag. If it touches it, ooh, you lose your gift. All right? All right? But yeah, we deal with mess every day. And we should be dealing with a mess as much as we can. And we should be looking for the mess as much as we can. If you look in John 5, this is backwards, this is my fault. That's where I'm at. If you look at Luke 18, 35 through 43, we have a blind man that was beside the road. All right? And he's blind, and he probably became blind. And during that time, the righteous people, the leaders of the law, the leaders that were knowledgeable in Scripture in this time, would have said that he became blind because probably something that he did sinful, or his parents did something sinful, and he was a mess. And it was better not to even be associated. It was better to not even be a part of this person, right? And we have this scene here where Jesus is walking along the road and he has a crowd following him. He's become kind of a rock star. People had seen some of his miracles. People have heard some of the messages that he was giving. And it was out of the norm. And they knew something was very, very special about him. All right? And this blind man sitting there begging, because at this time, that's all that they really could do. Right? And so he's begging, and he hears the crowd, and it's rumbling. So he asks, what's going on? And he said, Jesus is coming. And he has heard about Jesus. And he starts to yell, Son of David, please stop. And the first time he yells, he gets this reaction of, be quiet. Nobody wants to deal with you. Be quiet. Know your place. And what's awesome about this is that he didn't hear that at all. In fact, he got louder, more abundant with his voice, and just was like, David, the Son of David, Jesus, please stop. And he stops. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been moments in my life that person that you're like, I think they said my name. Let's just keep walking. Let's pretend I didn't hear them. And then they yell it again. Like, I can't ignore it now. I know it was Ben, right? And you turn and you have to talk. And you're like, it's that one conversation you weren't wanting to have. You weren't ready to be in that moment. You were dreading this from this moment, right? And Jesus turned, and he knows what this is going to be, and he knows what it's going to cause. It's going to cause a stir, and everywhere he's going to continue to go, it's going to keep building, and he knows if he interacts with this person, he knows what's going to happen. And so he turns, and he says, what do you want? What do you want? And he says, I want to be healed. I want to be able to see again. That's pretty easy to understand. If we have our iniquities, we have our issues, we turn to God and go, please heal these iniquities. Please heal what I have that's ailing me, right? But this beggar, just by word of mouth, knew that Jesus could do it. Believed that Jesus could do it. And in that faith, he was healed. He was given sight again. Right? And he was excited enough that he's like, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ for the rest of my life. You see, normal religious leaders at this time would have convicted this blind man for being in the situation that he's in. They would have said the situation that he's born in or just how it happened in his life was a causation of his sin. And they would have said, you have to deal with that sin. Jesus didn't even confront the sin at that moment. If there is any sin in this man's life, he just turned and gave hope, joy, peace, and love all at once. Can you imagine? I would love the fact that I would never have to wear these glasses anymore. I would love that. I think anybody in here would go, I'm fine with not having to squint at a screen anymore. Right? Just me? Can you imagine just completely being able, one day, not being able to see, and then the next day, coming to a person that you know that can change your life and gives you grace and mercy and does that, and does it with pure, like, without anything. Didn't say, well, if you do this, you got to do this, 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 and this. He just gave it to him in that moment. Right? He approached the mess with grace and love. Man, can you believe the gifts of joy that was overflowing in this man's life? That the story that he got to tell everybody of his encounter with Jesus Christ. This is the first gift of a mess. It comes seeking us. We have to be ready for that voice that says, can you help? I need your prayers. Life stinks. I'm in pain. I'm hurting. And our response needs to be one of these. It needs to be hope, peace, joy, and love. The moment that we ask Jesus Christ in our lives, our response to every circumstance needs to be an overflow of what Jesus did to us. All right? So let's look at another mess. And this one's a tough one. We turn to John 8, 2 through 11. And Jesus is sitting around teaching. And he's already a very controversial leader at this moment because he was teaching that he is the Son of God. He was teaching with authority that they're not used to. So the Pharisees and the spiritual leaders of that time, the ones that knew all the law, hey, let's go and test this guy. Let's bring the mess to him. So they found a woman that they knew was a sinful woman. She was caught in adultery. And they brought her to him. And by the law of Moses, they had the right to stone her right there because of her sin. Right there. And so they waited for his reaction. They waited for him to show what is he going to do. Is he going to go against Moses? Is he going to go against the law? And if he goes against the law, everything he's been saying about love and grace and mercy kind of goes out the window. So we get to catch him. And this is one of those moments that I go, okay, we need to be ready for the mess because when the mess does come and we're presented with the mess, we need to be ready of how to handle it with God's wisdom, God's understanding, that when we do share the peace, the joy, and the love, and the hope that he has given us, we're also ready for the outcome of those that we think we trust too. You got to remember, these are supposedly the spiritual leaders of this time. So Jesus gets on his knees and starts to draw in the sand. Kind of a weird thing to think about. And they're just waiting for him. They're like, what is he doing? I've talked about it a little bit before. I think in my mind that he was probably listing out sins. Drawing out sins, writing out what they have done in the sand. And he gets up and they look at him, what are you going to do? And he says, if any of you have not sinned, may you cast the first stone. And gets back on the ground. And And every one of them left without throwing a stone. And he gets up and he notices they're all gone. And he looks at the lady and goes, hey, did anybody throw a stone? Like he wasn't paying attention. He was too involved in letting them know, hey, I know who you are. Right? And she looks, no, nobody threw a stone. And he says, nobody condemned you today. I don't even condemn you today. Go and sin no more. Man, first off, that's power and authority right there. Second off, think about that in terms of how we evangelize and how we reach out into this world. Remember, we are not called to pick up stones and throw it. You know what we're called to do in those moments? Figure out how to be peaceful. Figure out how to be joyful and hopeful to those who are hopeless. That's a hopeless situation. During this time, women were second-rate citizens. She probably even believed she deserved to be stoned herself. Now, the men that were involved in, where were they? Were they called to the carpet, the one that they were having an affair with? No. See, it was a different culture back then. So they're standing there. And for it not to happen was a huge thing. And for Jesus to say the words that you are not condemned, I don't condemn you, is a moment of grace that she's probably never mentioned and seen before. We live in a world that's very chaotic. And we've got to stop picking up stones and throwing at this culture and figure out how to embrace and love them with peace, hope, joy. We need to figure out how Christ has shown us as an example to approach the messy world that we live in. It's a gift. Just like the first one, it comes seeking us. The second one is presented to us, and it's also, we're going to have to deal with it afterwards. How we have to defend it, and you will probably lose relationships. I think about it in terms of like being at work. You know, you get presented to things that are messy situations at work. And how are you going to handle them? Are you going to be involved in the gossip? Are you going to be involved in the things in which that is unhealthy and not godly? Are you just going to go with the flow and go, man, God, I hope you work this out? Because the reality is this, you're there for a reason. You're there for a reason. God has put you right where you're at for a reason. Not to go along with the flow, not to avoid the messes either. It's easier to walk away from it. But you are called to love the world the way that God had loved the world. And he sent his son, remember? What we just celebrated. Into the messy world that was then. And we think it's chaotic now. It was pretty chaotic then. Can you imagine having a child and knowing that the king just put an order out to kill all newborns? Can you imagine that? You imagine you have to be in hiding with your kid. It is messy, the world that we live in. It's been messy for a long time. And the only way it's redeemed is through Jesus Christ. But we got to stop worrying about how messy it is and actually allow God to use us in that mess. See, I believe the more that we open these gifts and the more that we have this in our lives, the joy, peace, love, and hope, right? Our lives are a complete mess with these things. So the interaction that we have with people, you're a joyful person. Why are you so joyful? You seem hopeful. This is a hopeless situation. Why are you hopeful? You see, the world sees circumstances through their eyes. We see circumstances through Jesus Christ. Whether we're broke, bankrupt, our health is failing, whether those things are, our marriage is dissipating, whether we don't have good relationships with our kids, whether whatever's going on within the situation that we find, if we are seeking Jesus first, guess what we have in those things? Yeah, we may be desperate, we may be hurting, we may be broke, but we still have hope. We still have joy. We still have love. We still have peace. Why? Because it's not bound to the finances. It's not bound to the situations that we find ourselves. It's bound in Jesus. Right? So the last mess, the blind, The lame man lying beside the pool. John 5, 1 through 15. Right? See, both the messes beforehand were kind of seeking out. The mess just yelling out to God, the blind man, right? And then the church, like I would say the church people are just people in general in life, just plopping the mess down in front of you going, hey, solve this. What are you going to do with this? This one is where Jesus sought out the mess. It's another situation in which the person was lame. He's an invalid. He was an invalid for majority of his life. I believe it says either 36 or 38 years, all right? And he was by the pool where a lot of invalids stayed. And if there was compassionate people, they would come and kind of help out these people, but this is where they kind of hung out. They hung out there to be fed. They hung out there to be taken care of. This one, he was to a point that nobody was really, he was just walked by and ignored. And if he talked about having to drag himself to the pool to get what he needed, like water or whatever he needed in that moment, right? And people would step in front of him and get in the way. Like he was just kind of just looked upon as like trash along the road. Again, he was probably one that the religious leaders looked at as, well, you are in a circumstance like this because of sin, whether or not you did it or your parents did this, right? So our excuse is, I don't have to love you and show you grace because you are put in this circumstance because of what you've done. It's just what it is, all right? Now, if I feed them, what is that? Feed them fish for one day, they'll keep coming back. But if I teach them how to fish, they've got it all, right? That mentality, which is not a wrong mentality, but within the grace of God, doesn't really work the same. We are called to be servants. And we are called to allow God to do the changing in people's lives. And we are there consistently showing peace, hope, love, and joy to those, whether they receive it or not. Right? So, we're sitting at the pool, and Jesus sees him, sees this invalid just laying there. And he's been there 36 to 38 years. And he walks up to him. He engages the mess. And he decides, out of my whole day, this is the most important person right here. Kneels down and says, what can I do for you? Do you want to be healed? And the guy had probably never heard of Jesus or never heard of that Jesus can heal, because his first reaction is like, I just need somebody to take me to the water. Everybody as I'm dragging myself, they just get in my way, and then I'm done for the day, and I can't get to the water. I can't get to the pool for relief. And he, like, I don't think he heard the question, do you want to be healed? And Jesus looks at him and says, hey, stand up and take your mat. Now, this is on the Sabbath, and there's a couple things that have happened on the Sabbath now that are against the law. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. That's against the law. Crazy law. And this is law by at that time, church people, all right? They didn't want you to sin, and they thought if you did more than you could do on the Sabbath, then that's considered sinning, right? Crazy, right? And then the lame guy who just got healed picks up his mat, walks away, and guess what a sin is during Sabbath? To carry your mat. Now, this guy has been this way for a long time and has probably been recognized by a lot of the religious leaders and seen on a regular basis of begging, right? And they notice him walking. And you know what they said? Hey, you're sinning. You're not supposed to be carrying your mat today. Oh. Wait a minute. You don't... I'm standing. I'm walking. I'm doing this for myself. I got told by the one to carry my mat. And they asked him, so who told you? Jesus is so smart, man. He looks ahead, and he didn't give his name. He didn't offer any salvation at that moment, right? Because they would have came down on him. He goes, I don't know who it was, but it was awesome. And he told me to carry my mat. So I'm carrying my mat. It's more than your rules and laws. And so he walks on and he's in the temple, and guess who meets him in the temple? Jesus wasn't done with him. Walks up to him and says, hey, I'm Jesus. You can walk now because of me. Go and sin no more. Cool. You see, we are called to be in these moments, to seek them out, be ready for them, to respond with the same kind of love and message that Jesus does. It is so easy to get caught up and pick up the rocks and be ready to throw them. It is so easy to put this wall up and go, we are righteous and you are not. It is so easy to look at the negative of every situation and be caught up in that. It's so easy to be fascinated with the mess that people are in and not understand that we are supposed to be in the mess with them. It would be the doctors, they take a Hippocratic oath. You guys know what that is? What it is if they see an accident and they see somebody in need, they are required to attend to them. And if they don't, guess what they lose? They lose their license. My father's a doctor. I'd have been in his car with him, and he has seen an accident. And guess what? There was no ambulance there. So my dad had to stop and attend to that accident. Now, that was a life changer for me. I stayed in my car. He said, don't you move. You stay in here, blah, blah, blah. And I got to see him attend to people that were in dire straits. Do you know, as Christians, there's a Hippocratic oath for us that when we see people unhealthy and unspiritual and life is just a tragic mess, that we are not called to avoid it. We are called to be a part of it. Not to celebrate in it, not to be active participants in the mess, but to bring the gifts of this, of Jesus Christ, to that mess. It doesn't mean we resolve it. It doesn't mean, and I know for you, I'm a fixer. I want to see things fixed. And you get frustrated when things aren't fixed, and people are the most frustrating thing when it comes to being fixed. You give them the answer, just do it. Trust me. And I've learned through years of ministry that I can't make the decisions for people. But I can guide them to Jesus, and it's between them and Jesus, and life changes. But the point is, I need to be guiding them to Jesus. Not sitting on the sideline going, man, that's a mess. I'm just going to drive right by that. You see, Christmas, in reality, could have been that moment for God. He could have looked at us and go, they're not worth it. They're not worth it. But he sent the ultimate gift to the mess, probably the ultimate mess, his son, to give this, these gifts of peace, joy, love, hope. The moment that you ask Jesus Christ in your heart, can you, these things flood in. My question for you is this morning. Do you feel peace, joy, and hope and love this morning? Have those gifts rushed in? And if not, maybe Jesus isn't in that mess. You haven't invited him in. You haven't let him take control. Maybe you've like taken Jesus out of certain areas of your life, or he's just not there, and you're not finding, it's just so unsettling. Maybe when you go to work, you dread work because you know it's a mess. Maybe you dread being home because you know it's a mess. Maybe you just dread being alone because it means you're having to confront a mess. You see, Jesus, he's always coming. He's always in front of this. He's always wanting to be a part of it. He's always asking, he's knocking at the door. He's waiting for you to invite him in. And this is the thing, unlike my mom, being prepared and having us all the spaces clean before we come to him, before we invite him in, that's not how he wants it. He wants to visit every area of your life and be involved in every area of your life to perfect it. Not in the sense of our perfection, but in the sense of his perfection. You see, our actions are still going to have issues. They're still going to be laden with our own sin. It just happens. But when we seek him out and trust in his strength and trust in his words, we have hope and joy and peace and love that we know whatever action we had in that, God was shining. God was moving. God was speaking. God was showing through that. It makes a huge difference. It makes an eternal difference. So this morning, maybe you need to accept the Christ, the gift of Christ. Maybe there's been areas in your life that you haven't given up yet, that you're still trying to clean up on your own. And Jesus wants in. He wants full ownership of not just 90%, 50%, 60%. He wants 100% of you. And he's going to tell you, I love your mess. And I don't condemn you. I free you from it. And when we have that, we're able to live these gifts out. We're able to have joy in misery moments. We're able to bring peace where there's war. We're able to have hope even in the hopeless times. We're able to love the most unlovable people. When we invite Jesus into our life, nowhere in Scripture does it say clean up before you come to him. Make yourself right before you kneel before him. He says, I love you right where you're at. And the crazy thing about it too is that he wants to use your mess to glorify him. He wants to use your gifts and your talents to be involved in his ministry. You don't have to be an adult. You can be a teen. You can be a kid. There's no age limit on this. You never get to retire to following Jesus. Right? When I say you, God meets you right where you're at, you don't have to move. From the moment that you ask him in your life, guess what starts to happen though? You move with him. And you start to use the gifts that he's given you for this messy world. So I want you to think, two questions, I guess, right? Has Christ got all your heart? All areas of your life, is he involved in? And if not, are you ready to give that up? Are you ready to invite him in all areas of your life? Second, you were called to be involved in the messes of life. And are you responding? Are you responding with a rock in your hand? Are you responding with joy, hope, love, and peace as your weapons? I'm going to open the altar. Peg's going to come up. And what I'm going to ask at this time is maybe you need to allow God, Jesus, to invade areas of your life that you haven't given up yet. And we're going to take a couple moments of that. But maybe also you're at a point in your life where you've been avoiding the messes and God is calling you to love them, to be the beacon of his light, his mercy, and his grace. And so what we're going to do right now is I'm going to open the altar and we're going to play some music and I'm going to give you some time just to respond to God. And I just close your eyes. If you want to meet the altar at Jesus, this is your time. If there's an area in your life that you haven't truly given up to God, this is your chance. If you're ready for Jesus to be the ruler and redeemer of your life, this is your chance. If you're ready for your perspective to be changed about what the mess looks like and how you want to avoid it, to I need to be involved in it. I need to be what God has called me to be. This is your chance. Our Heavenly Father, we invite you into our heart this morning. I pray that we're not ruled by our shame or our guilt, but we are overwhelmed by your grace and peace and forgiveness. That we invite you into our lives and not just one area of our life, not on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, not on any particular day or moment, but we involve you in all aspects of our life. That we allow you to have full reign of who we are. Lord, we kneel before you. We ask for your forgiveness. We believe that you sent your Son to live to show us how to live, to show us the way to live. We believe that he died on a cross for us. We believe we put him on that cross with our sins. Lord, we believe that he was the ultimate price for our sins. Lord, we believe that he resurrected and defeated death. Lord, we believe those things can happen now in our own lives. That we believe that the old can die and the new with you can live. Lord, I pray that our eyes and our ears are in tune with the opportunities to share the gifts that you have given us with this messy world. I pray that we don't avoid the mess. I pray that we don't come with our fist raised. I pray that we come with peace, with joy, with hope, and with love. Lord, I pray that this just isn't just a season of our life, but this is the rest of our life. Lord, I pray that in all things we glorify you. Amen. If you're not ready to leave the altars, you please take your time. I have one awesome announcement before we go. Sierra, would you stand? All right. Sierra does an amazing thing. She helps out. She just walks around downtown Springfield, right, and loves on people. Has in the past, during this time of the season, she has made sandwiches. She goes and buys gloves and hats. And this time she has decided she wants to invite the church to be a part of that. And so what I'm going to do is, if you're interested in helping, whether that's donating hats and gloves, helping make sandwiches, or if you would like to go out with her to give out these gifts, that you reach out to her, that you see her today, and that you talk to her about it, all right? That's an awesome thing. Thank you, Sierra. All right? It's an awesome gift, and it's an awesome thing that she's invited us to be a part of. So please reach out to her. Church, understand what the reason of this season is. Don't be afraid of the mess. Jesus is bigger, and he's called you to it. Go be the hope, joy, and peace and love that the world needs. Love you guys.